You're listening to Small and Mighty Conversations, a podcast celebrating and supporting the small business owner and creative entrepreneur. With your host, me, Sam Burgess. You're listening to Season 3, Episode 9. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Small and Mighty Conversations, Episode 9. Only one more episode left of Season 3. I can't believe it. Anyways, this week I'm chatting with Amy Carlton, who is the founder of Life Rocks. Now, I met Amy at a Push PR event, I'm going to say around 4 or 5 weeks ago, maybe a little bit longer than that. And Amy was there and she did a talk about healing and the power of crystals. And many of you probably have absolutely no idea that I am actually quite a spiritual person. I very much believe in that the universe has my back. I believe in manifestation. I believe in the law of attraction. I've been into crystals since I was a little kid. I used to collect crystals as a child. And there was a shop in my local, kind of my hometown, where I used to go and spend all my pocket money on crystals. And I was very into tarot as well from kind of the age of 14. My mum taught me how to use tarot cards and how to read tarot cards. And I'm quite an intuitive person. I'm an empath. And I have always been very fascinated with all of that. And I used to make a little bit of pocket money at school doing readings for people. Usually does the boy I like fancy me. I mean, obviously at boarding school, that was kind of what I was going to be reading for. But I've always been really into tarot and into crystals specifically. Now, today's chat with Amy is a mixture of how Amy came to found her business, Life Rocks, and how she works as an energy and development coach and therapist, but also about the products that she's developed for her business. And also we talk about how you can listen to your soul and how you can use that to help direct your business and help you really work out what it is that you want from life, from your business, and from your work. And I really hope you enjoyed today's episode because I loved chatting with Amy. And for those of you who might be worrying, oh, this is going to be really woo-woo, I'm not into that. It's not as woo-woo as you think. Amy is very into the science behind vibrations and all of that as well. And we talk about that in a lot more depth. So let's get on with the show. Hi, Amy. Welcome to Small and Mighty Conversations.
Hi, Sam. Thanks so much for having me.
You are very welcome. Now, Amy, we met very briefly, probably about 4 weeks ago at a PR event where you were speaking. And I thought you were very interesting and I love your business. And I came for a session with you. And then I thought, she needs to be on the show.
I'm honoured.
Well, I'm excited for you to share your wisdom and your journey with the Small and Mighty Conversation listeners. So to kind of kick off with, what I do is I ask everybody to introduce themselves and their business and then just kind of tell us a little bit about how you found yourself doing what you do.
Okay, well, it's a long one.
Actually. Go for it.
It's a little bit round about the houses. My name is Amy Carlton. I am, the best way to explain what I do is I do energy and development work, which is an amalgamation, I'd say, of therapy and crystal energy alignment. Mm-hmm. So I started my journey, 20 years ago in fashion. That's how I was educated. I went to art school. I went down the normal road that all us kids go down when we finish school and think that we need to do the next steps in sensible order, and spent 15 years or maybe 14 years as a fashion designer.
Oh, wow.
It was great fun. I worked with my sister. We had a great brand. It was really great fun. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about business and product and manufacturing and people and I traveled the world, but it didn't fit. And I didn't really notice how much it didn't fit as a young adult in a career, mm-hmm. because I didn't know what that feeling felt like. I'd just come out of school and kind of rolled that process. And then I had my first child and found that I was really struggling with the choices that I'd made professionally. I loved working, but the balance was wrong, mm-hmm. and it wasn't satisfying me in the same way. And I wanted to be a working mum. It was always something I knew I wanted to do. I always wanted to have my own thing, but I wasn't prepared to do that if it wasn't fulfilling me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't prepared to be pulled away from home in order to do something that wasn't really ticking all the boxes. And I moved to America and got involved in the wellness industry and started to learn. Yes, I had to go to the other side of the world. And I decided to, I was very interested in crystals and I was interested in energy and I was amazingly interested in the science behind it, which is crazy because I completely flunked out at science at school. But I thought, this is really interesting. And I guess from having a child, you realize that you're a very, 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 very small fish in a very big pond of universe that has a lot more control over you than we originally think. Mm-hmm. And I started to reconnect to that. And I wanted to understand how that worked. So crystals have energies that hold properties that heal us and help us and support us and aid us and bring up emotional issues and clear emotional issues. But how? I wasn't very satisfied with the, oh, well, it's just the universe and that's amazing. I was like, no, there has to be a way that the two things interact. Mm-hmm. So I started to learn and feed my brain with as much of that information as I could. And I'd always studied psychology as a young adult, mm-hmm. and was thinking, well, hang on a second. If we've learned so much scientifically about how the brain works, which is super interesting, mm-hmm. and I could talk about for hours, and we're also aware that the universe has a physiological effect on our cellular system because we simply are part of the universe, then surely we can work on mental wellness in a much more holistic way by bringing those two things together. And so essentially that's what I did. Cut to, I guess, 5 years of training. And now I have a business that involves working with the science of the mind and the science and spirituality of crystal energy. So it's unusual, but it works.
Well, that is, I just love that. I think that's probably one of the big things that come up with a lot of guests. And even like my own journey is you find yourself taking a path and there comes a point where you're just like, I don't want to do this anymore. This isn't for me. And I like what I do, but you know, it's just not really for me. And then you start exploring things and you end up doing something that you probably, well, I certainly never thought I would end up doing what I do now. And I would imagine when you were studying fashion and working as a fashion designer, if you'd sort of fast forwarded like, you know, 10 or so years, you wouldn't have said, ah, that's what I'm going to end up doing.
Probably not even 6 years ago. It's crazy how my business has grown, how it's changed, how people ask me always. I mean, it's an unusual field to be in. Mm. And there's obviously other side. There are other sides to my business that I'm sure we'll discuss later on in the interview, where I've developed products and such like. And people keep saying to me, "How did you get into this?" And I honestly can't pinpoint exactly how it happened. It's almost like the universe took over.
Yeah.
I was like, right, that's what she's going to do. And what I realized was it's really hard work. I'm constantly working, but I love it. And I don't feel like I'm being pulled. I don't feel like I'm being pulled away. If anything, I get frustrated because I'm like, oh, kids, can you just give me half an hour? I've got stuff to do because I want to focus on the other stuff. And that's what I wanted. That's where I wanted to be in my life, where I was making choices for the life I wanted to have, but really from a point of inspiration and really from a point of drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. And I think for me, I've always said it was a bit like a spiritual calling. I remember being sat in this meeting and just thinking, I don't want to do this anymore. And then suddenly it like popped into my head, like, that's what you're going to go and do. And you're going to go and work on that business plan this weekend and you're going to hand your notice in on Monday. And it was just something triggered me to make a change. And it is, you know, I'm a firm believer the universe has a plan for us all. And I believe that in the law of attraction, I believe you can manifest what you want. And anyone that's listening who's thinking, oh my goodness, this is getting very woo-woo. It is a bit woo-woo. And I think it surprises a lot of people when I talk to people and I'm like, yep, I'm really into crystals. I'm really into spirituality. I'm really into the universe. I do my tarot. And everyone's like, really? I would never have seen that about you. And it's like, I've been like that since I was a child. It's something that I kind of put down and have now got much more into in the last kind of 12 months, I would say, re-exploring that side of me. And I would like to use that more in my work. What I love about you, Amy, is that you have looked at the science behind it all. You're not really woo-woo, and without stereotyping, Amy's not a Birkenstock wearing woo-wooer.
I do like my Birkenstocks in the summer, height of summer.
Yeah,
happy with a pair of Birkenstocks. No, but I know exactly what you mean, and actually it's interesting when you say it, it pops into your head and then it changes the whole direction of your life. And I actually think when you look, when you talk to a lot of people that have made massive life changes, more and more of them would actually say, well, that's kind of how it happened. And that's when the flow comes, when it is actually easier, not to say easy, because starting any business or making any massive life change is not easy, but it's almost like there's a force behind you that allows the process to evolve in a more fluid way. And that's because you've made this choice and the world is helping you to evolve it. And it is science. It's science, and it's brain space, and it's mind space, and it's motivation, and it's trust.
Definitely.
It's a lot about trust. And that's not to say, I think a lot of people talk or see this kind of more woo-woo side of the world. I think, oh, well, you know, what do you mean? It's just law of attraction and letting the universe has your back. And that's not to say sit on your bum and do nothing and hope that good things happen to you. That's laziness. There's a difference. And I think that that's what's really important, is not to, it's not to attach doing nothing as letting the universe take its path with you. It's about actually being present in your own head, hearing that voice. You heard that voice in that office on that day, in that meeting, that said, I don't want to do this. And you said, actually, I want to do this. And it's being self-aware enough to follow your own thought process and then just put little things into action as well. You didn't say, I'm going to be this tomorrow.
No.
You said, I'm going to work on my business plan on the weekend. And that's a step to the right direction. And then you complete that and it moves forward like that. And suddenly it's evolved, and it's not, and the universe has just supported you and maybe making sure you were free that weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, to do your business plan.
Absolutely. And I think that is so much of it, because, like, you know, I'm sure, I have no doubt a lot of people listening will have probably watched The Secret, and are familiar with The Secret and the Law of Attraction. If you haven't watched it, watch it. It's on Netflix. But the thing that I always think with it is, you know, you can sit and you can manifest having a successful business, but you have to put the work in. You can't just sort of say, right, I'm going to do my daily manifestation. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to be a multimillionaire. And then I think I might just go and watch telly for the rest of the day. That's not how it works. It is, you've got to put the work in, and that is how, it's all a kind of a process, and that support is really important. And believing in yourself and listening to your intuition, but you do actually have to do some work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think probably the hardest bit of work is having that conversation with your ego that goes, I could do this and I could do that. No, you can't. You can't do that. And then actually it's going, yes, actually I can. And I'm going to do this just to prove it to you. And then you do that. And then the ego has another conversation with you. It's the hardest bit of work is getting over yourself, getting out of your own way.
Absolutely.
To do the things you want to do.
And your ego is so loud and your intuition is so calm and quiet. And it, a big part of listening to your intuition is distinguishing the difference between your ego and your intuition, which is a challenge for everybody. And even, you know, my ego can get very loud sometimes.
Very. Mine too. And I think people assume, because of the world I'm in, that I think people assume very often when anyone is in any kind of the therapy world, and I have been asked this, well, who are you? So you haven't experienced everything in life. Who are you to help people? And I'm not here to tell anyone anything from my own experience. I'm trained, and I'm empathetic, and I therefore can connect with people to help them work through their own stuff. It's not about my journey. It's very much about theirs. And part of that is also the fact that I have those struggles in real time. It's not something that's in my past. I obviously have an ego too. I have a very loud ego. I have imposter syndrome. I have all sorts of things. And if I didn't, I'd be a really crap therapist, because I wouldn't understand what anything feels like at all. But I also certainly would never profess that my experience should be anybody else's result.
No, absolutely. And that is the hallmark of being a good therapist, really, is that I don't think I would ever want to work with somebody who thought they had all their shit together and their life was perfect and they'd never experienced any troubles in their past or in, you know, real time, as you said, because I just think, one, you can't possibly empathize with me, and two, I don't believe you.
Liar.
Nobody is perfect.
No.
So Amy, tell me, how did you kind of take your newfound kind of interest in energy and development work and actually turn that into a business?
Well, I started taking clients, and the way my business worked, or the way I wanted my business to evolve, was certainly not through publicizing the work that I do, because I don't feel that that's authentic. Mm-hmm. Not today, I'm not proud to talk about it, but I wasn't about to start taking ads out in newspapers and things like that. It's energy work, therefore people will come to me and we will find one another over time, and it's the sort of business that grows slowly. Mm-hmm. But from my history in fashion, I think, really, and a love of product, I decided that I would develop a business around my business that would help people who maybe didn't want to have energy alignment work done to them, or didn't live in the same city as me, to be able to come and see me, or want to have development readings, to, you know, therapy, say anything like that. But they are interested in energy, crystals, healing, the support that crystals give. I did some research on water and crystals. Mm-hmm. I was reading about something, and I don't know if any of you listeners have read about water or the amazing properties that water holds. But what water does is it holds information very easily. It can be programmed very easily. Now, on the one hand, that's a real shame for us, because we drink a lot of water that's full of plastic and things like that we can't see. But on a positive, if you put certain crystals, only certain crystals, because some are toxic, but if you put them into water, the vibration of the stone, which is physics, just literally everything oscillates at a certain vibration. All stones oscillate at a certain vibration. By oscillate, I mean move, I mean vibrate. If you drop a crystal that is water safe to drink into water and leave it for 6 hours, that constant vibration and oscillation in water will program that water to the same frequency as the crystal. And then when you drink it, you will be drinking the properties and the supportive properties of that stone right into your system, right into the, oxygenating your blood through drinking the water, et cetera, et cetera. So you are essentially able to benefit from the crystal energy without having it on your body. Some people don't want to wear the jewelry, out having to carry it, having a big stone with you. I thought, wouldn't this be brilliant if I put that in a water bottle? Now, that is available. People do that. That is out there, but they're glass bottles, because from an aesthetic perspective and business, it's beautiful to have a glass bottle with a big crystal in it. Yeah. Not so efficient when you're walking around the streets of London, where I live, or anywhere in the world where they now sell, when you drop your bag or you hit the floor with it and it cracks and things like that.
It's also very heavy.
It's very heavy, and they do look beautiful, but the work I do with stones, it comes as beautiful as they are. I'm coming from a more scientific and a more healing perspective. So I thought, how can I give this to people? So I found a copper vessel, a copper water bottle, which has its own healing benefits, because in Ayurvedic medicine, I hope all of you aren't bored with this really lengthy
this is all explanation. No, this is fascinating, so I don't care if people are bored. I'm enjoying it.
Okay, we can cut me out. We can cut out the boring bits. When you drink from copper in Ayurvedic medicine, so which is obviously, you know, hundreds of thousands of years old in India, they say that it's anti-inflammatory, which is why when you see people with arthritis wearing the copper bracelets, it's anti-inflammatory. It's anti-aging, because it rejuvenates cells under the skin. So it helps to kind of eliminate fine lines. It speeds up your metabolism, which is great. It obviously aids with weight loss if you're looking after your body and you're on that path. Mm-hmm. It works with digestion. So people with like celiac disease and things like that, it just kind of helps keeping everything flowing. And then there are other studies that go much further into kind of thyroid support and heart regulating, which is not stuff that I don't go too far down that medical route, but it's very interesting. And copper is also an amplifier or a conductor of vibration. So if you put the crystals in the copper bottle and then add the water, you're going to have this wonderful healing extravaganza going on that you can drink right down into your system, hydrate, not use plastic, and be benefiting every cell in your body. So I developed that and created a website selling them.
Was that, did that come before you doing the energy and development one-on-one sessions? Was it, did you start with the product or did you start with the sessions?
I started with the sessions.
Yeah.
And I think it was kind of born out of really seeing how people were benefiting from the energy work that we were doing, yeah, with the stones, and thinking, how can I expose this to people on a day-to-day basis where it isn't sitting down, having a session, having to pay for a session, having to connect with me personally, having to go, like I said, go down that road, but actually being able to have a little bit of that crystal healing energy on them all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's how I came up with the idea. And then I thought, I'll just create a little website and see how it goes. And then I sourced some beautiful crystals myself from, I have various people around the world that I see that I buy stones from myself for my work. And I put some of them on the website, and then I designed some jewelry so that people could have beautiful jewelry.
And it is beautiful
them.
Jewelry.
And it's all kind of, it's, and funnily enough, it's evolved very naturally, which again is kind of my, I look at it and go, I don't really know where this came from. And it's all kind of evolved very easily, and not to say I haven't worked 25 hours a day to do it, but it's been very flowing. This is what I'm obviously meant to be doing.
That's incredible. And I think, you know, that you clearly knew what you wanted. You kind of had these ideas come to you and you followed your intuition to make it happen. You've mentioned it being very organic growth, and you've mentioned before about not taking out adverts, etc. What have you done in regards to marketing your business? You're obviously on Instagram, but is there anything else that you do? Does the majority of your business come through people finding you on Instagram, word of mouth? How has that kind of worked for you in terms of growing your business?
Instagram's been unbelievable, mm-hmm. like unbelievable. And I definitely need some training. So I will be doing some online courses or even the in-person courses, I really love the sound of. And it's definitely something that I think is really, really important in starting a new business. I'm fully aware that I'm definitely not maximizing what is possible, because I think Instagram's just a phenomenal platform. Mm-hmm. And what else have I done? I talk to a lot of people, and I'm always looking for opportunities of connection. I think it's very much about meeting people and doing things like that lovely PR event where I met you. Mm-hmm. I found that was really beneficial for business. Also, because at this point in my business, I'm learning and I'm open to who the customer is.
Yes.
So I think it's really beneficial to put yourself or oneself into situations where you're connected to the people buying your product or involved in what you're offering, so that you can find out how they tick, what they want, and how to connect with them personally. Mm-hmm. So things like magazine giveaways.
Yep.
Which magazines, food people, it giveaways through Instagram, things like that, where I can then see who is interested in connecting with my product and me, is kind of how I'm going about it. But I'm doing it very slowly as well, because I haven't got time.
I think what's key with you is that because you are because you work with people one-on-one, it is really important that people see you in the flesh, because I would say when I met you, I was very drawn to you. There was something about you that I found myself very drawn to. And I you know, even while you were talking, I was looking you up on Instagram. and I was looking at what services you do. And I thought, yes, I want to have a session with Amy. There's something about her that's really pulling me. But had I found you sporadically on Instagram, it probably would have taken my intuition to get louder, to tell me to reach out to you. But because I'd seen you in person, I felt your energy and I just thought, yes, I want to work with her. So I would imagine it is really important for you and your business to get out there and see people.
Yes, yes. And I think also part of it's remembering the joy of what you kind of, why and how you got into whatever it is you got into. Because hopefully, you know, these conversations are inspiring people to make choices about their life and their work, things they really want to do, not what can I do to make some money and live a life, or what do I want to do, what's going to really, really fulfill me. And this whole path, really, for me, if we break it down, it's about connection. It's about connection to people. Mm-hmm. And if I get wrapped up in my business and my product and my website and et cetera, et cetera, and also only the few sessions I might be able to do, because there's only one of me, so there's only so many sessions I can I can hold at any one time, then I'm limiting that connection that I love to have with more and more people. And it's always, I think it's really important when starting a new business, and it is so much work, to keep stepping back and going, remember what you love about what you do and make it the core of everything. Make it the core of every choice you make. Otherwise we get so wrapped up in the success of the business, the money making, the successful meeting, et cetera, et cetera. And it sometimes it pulls away from actually, what am I doing this for? Yeah. What is it that inspires me? What is it that I love? And if you keep that at the core of every decision you make and keep coming back to it, even if it takes a little bit longer, then you'll always love what you do.
That's so true. I mean, it's so easy to create a monster as well and then sit there and just think, oh my goodness, this isn't what I want. And I think it was the episode with Martha Brooke, and she was saying, like, some of her business friends, and she obviously didn't want to name anybody, but had found that they had grown a business that they didn't like anymore, because they had let it get, they'd followed this success and they'd let it grow and let it evolve, and now they actually wanted to just exit it and start again because they enjoyed being their business. And I think that's what's really important for anybody who is wanting to grow their business, that, you know, if you have grand ambitions of having a very, you know, a seven-figure turnover business, for example, you have to accept that it won't just be you, there will be other people. And, you know, the higher up, you know, the bigger the business grows, the higher up the ladder you are, and you have people below you, the less you kind of do what you love, because you're at the top and you're just seeing everything and controlling what's going on at a lower level, but you're not doing any of it anymore. And for me, with my business, I never ever wanted it to become that. I have no interest really in being a CEO of a massive company, because I wouldn't be doing what I love. And I'm going to guess for you, you probably do have ambitions, and we'll talk about the ambitions for your business, but I would guess that you still want to actually work with clients. You don't want to be up at the top and have like an army of people below you that serve your clients. You want to still work with them one-on-one.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what it's all about. And actually, I'm having an interesting conversation with somebody else about this recently as well. It's, you end up being the manager of the machine. And actually, if you're very, very good at what you do, then the people under you are better at your job than you are.
Very true.
Because that's the point, isn't it?
Yep.
You find the people that are better at you, that you can do it better than you, each bit that you can't do yourself. And then suddenly you're sitting at the top managing everybody else. Mm-hmm. I think people want to kind of run away. And that doesn't mean to say don't have that amazing corporate business, but that is what starts off as a cottage industry business, where you're doing everything yourself and it's super exciting and creative. Mm-hmm. It can very easily end up being a big corporate machine.
And you don't get to do the fun stuff anymore, or the thing that really ignited the spark in you in the first place, because there's a lot of other stuff that you need to do. Like, people management, for one, will take over a large portion of what it is that you do on a day-to-day basis. And I think that's the decision all business owners kind of have to make, is there will be a ceiling. If you don't want to go down that route and continue to grow your business and employ people and become sort of a CEO, you have to accept there is a ceiling as to how much money you can make, because there's only you. Or if you wanted to say, right, I'm happy to maybe grow it to like a team of five of us, but that's it, but I still want to do the majority of the doing, you have to accept, well, this is the absolute maximum I can realistically achieve.
Exactly that.
So for you, Amy, what are your ambitions for your business? Where would you like to see it going?
I think at the moment it's really interesting, because I've spent a lot of years always looking so far ahead. Mm-hmm. And I think since having my daughter, I guess, like I said, it all kind of changed around then, is looking at what I define success as.
Yes.
And even as what you were just explaining about how there is a ceiling, depending on how you want your business to grow, there will always come a point where you can't go further unless you make a big jump into investment or
exactly.
selling part of the business, et cetera, et cetera. And I think the important thing at that point is to look at it. And I think often, very often, people look at that ceiling and go, well, then I haven't really succeeded. And is that true?
No, because I'm shaking my head.
Is that true? Because actually, that's what you wanted. So yes, you have succeeded.
Yeah.
At what it is that you wanted. And be, oh, no, but I could make it. Yeah, you could. You could make it a multi-million pound company. Mm-hmm. Is that what you want for your life, for your success? Mm-hmm. Now, that's not even on my radar, not even remotely on my radar. I don't even think about what I want the business to be necessarily in 5-10 years. I think I'm spending a lot of my time thinking about what do I want to get out there in 5 or 10 years? What do I want to be doing in 5 or 10 years? Now, that means that the water bottles might expand worldwide, mm-hmm. huge business worldwide. I mean, I ship worldwide, but I don't have distributors abroad. Mm-hmm. And I'm touching loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of people, maybe millions of people. And that could be really satisfying, me seeing people connecting with that. But really, at the moment, for me, it's about growing the private practice of my business. Mm-hmm. And therefore, there's only going to ever be a certain amount of hours in the day, because part of my success is that my children come home to me, mm-hmm. not to me shut in an office working with other people. My job is to nurture them too. So I think it's kind of like, what do I want to be putting out there in the next 5-10 years? I want to be putting more of myself out there, more of my energy out there, connecting with other people's energy, and actually learning more. There is so much more to learn about the work that I do and the way crystal energy works, the way it heals, the way it supports, the way neuroscience supports, what we know about neuroscience, how we can help people be mentally healthy mm-hmm. with the information that we have. And I want to continue learning, so I can apply that to the people that I meet.
I love that. And I think that's, you know, success, unfortunately, has this kind of connection with the kind of hustle culture. You know, if you're not working every minute of every day and about to drop down dead, then you're not working hard enough, which frustrates me greatly. Mm. And I get very yeah. angry when I see like these kind of posts and stuff on Instagram, Facebook, a lot on LinkedIn as well. I just get really kind of agitated by it, because success is defined by each individual person by what it is that they want. And for me, like, I've always believed with my business, you know, I would never chase the money, if that makes sense. I would let it, if it felt comfortable and it felt right, I'd say yes. And if it didn't feel right, I'd say no. When I started my business, all I wanted was a steady income. I had no ambitions of being like Instagram famous or being a public speaker or even having a podcast. I just wanted to be a social media manager and help local businesses and just have a nice little income. And then it changed. But as it changed, I thought, yes, that's what I want to do. Yes, that's what I want to do. Yep, that sounds good. Yeah, that feels good to me. And I just kind of went with it. But I know where I don't want it to go, which I think is an important thing to kind of to realize. And for me, I kind of know what my success looks like to me, and I yes. feel like I have achieved it, but I'm pushing myself that little bit further because I actually know I'm capable. But to others, you know, success might be, I won't feel successful until my business turns over 6 figures. I won't feel successful until I'm able to take home more salary wise than I did in the job that I gave up to start my business. Success to me means, you know, I want to be able to buy a yacht. You know, it's success is different to different people. But for some people, success is, I just want to be able to take my family on a holiday once a year and send my daughter to ballet.
Absolutely.
And that's absolutely. Fine.
And I think it is. And I think also it's important, just important to ask yourself the question. Mm. It's, what am I doing this for?
Yes.
If you're doing it for the yacht, then fine, you're doing it for the yacht. But you have to allow yourself the conversation. You deserve that respect.
Yeah.
Of, what is this for? Am I doing this because I really want £5 million? Well, what will £5 million give me?
Yeah.
It'll give me freedom. Oh, well, maybe I want freedom.
Yeah.
So hang on a second, maybe success isn't £5 million. Maybe success is freedom. Is this business going to give me freedom? No.
Not if you need to, not if you're earning, you need to earn that much money. Trust me, you won't have any freedom. You will be so busy.
So that's why it's interesting to have those conversations with yourself when you're starting a business, because it does all start with, I need to survive.
Yeah.
We all need to survive. We all need money coming in to pay certain bills, and then it tastes nice.
Yeah.
And then we start to, you know, I can afford a little bit more of this, and I can afford a little bit more of that. And then it can get to, it can escalate. And hopefully our businesses are all doing so brilliantly that our concern is that they can escalate too big.
Yeah.
And we end up on a treadmill of raking in cash, but the pleasure is actually not the money very often. It's what the money brings you. And then, so therefore, how can you amend your life, your business, everything around you to give you the thing that you thought money was giving you?
Yeah. And I think the thing is that there are a lot of statistics around money. A lot of people believe, you know, if I won the lottery, I would be happy. If I went and bought those really expensive pair of shoes that I've seen in Selfridges that I can't afford, I would be happy. And the truth is, money can't buy you happiness. It can give you choices, but there are statistics around people that have won the lottery. The majority of people who won the lottery, I think it's like 80% or something, return to the same happiness levels pre-win after they've won, because yes, it's exciting at first. Oh my God, I've won the lottery. Yeah, I go buy myself a house. I can go do this, that, and the other. But actually, things don't make you happy. It's pretty rare. I think there's numerous things that I've bought over the years where I thought, well, if I buy that, I'll feel really happy, and that's why it's called retail therapy. But actually, it wears off pretty darn fast.
Well, they, what is it? You can never be too thin or too rich, or you can actually be both.
You can.
Neither of them will make you happy. Yes. It was Wallace Simpson that said that. But you know, very again. You're going to win the lottery and you think it's going to make it. Well, if I have that money, I'm going to have everything I need. Well, actually, you're probably craving safety and stability.
Yeah.
And you think that having the money will buy you the house, and then you've got the house. But really, the house is just the thing. It's not really safety and stability. It doesn't feel like safety and stability in your soul. We do not have conversations with our soul self often enough.
What would be your tips for somebody needing to have a conversation with their soul? Because I have no doubt a lot of people listening going, well, I wouldn't even know where to start with that.
How do I have a conversation with myself?
I write to my intuition. So that's how I kind of communicate with myself, is I write to my intuition. But I'd love to know your thoughts.
Well, I actually put up an interesting post on Instagram the other day.
Brilliant. I will link to that.
and I got a lot of people going, oh my God, you know, that's such a good point. And I think the one, I keep going back to kind of ask yourself. And I know that sounds like a really, I'm not necessarily suggesting everyone sits down and meditates for 8 hours a day. You know, I know that most people don't live that kind of lifestyle at all. But even if you think, if you notice how we think, and I think that we're all very similar, is that we're very overstimulated as a culture of mm-hmm. people across the whole world.
Yeah.
And we think about something. Even if something's pissed us off, or we're questioning something, or we hate our job. And then within 2.5 seconds of the thought coming into our head, another thought comes into our head. So we don't actually explore any thoughts in real depth. So I would say, in terms of exploring your soul or questioning your soul, I would spend 5 minutes driving in the car or sitting on the tube, not looking at Instagram, not reading a book, not listening to music. Like, switch off the sensory information. Mm-hmm. And ask yourself, when a thought comes into your head, allow your head to answer the question. Mm-hmm. And going back to the Instagram post I put up, it was something about, I can't remember it exactly because I put it up the other day, about being upset or pissed off about certain behaviors of people, or people being annoyed at us and us being upset that we're annoyed. What we don't actually ever do is question whether we actually care. We just immediately take that judgment and go, well, I'm really annoyed because everybody hates me. And it's like, actually, if we take 5 minutes and sit in the car or on the tube or whatever and think, well, they don't like me. Okay, my instinct is to be really upset about that. But do I actually care? Do I actually in my soul care really? Because actually, we're not connected in each other's lives, or we're not. It actually doesn't hurt me. It was a reflex to hurt me. Yeah. And that's just having the conversation of what does matter to me. You know, I want to run a successful business. Great. For what reasons? What's a successful business going to give you? You know, that our ego has a really loud voice, but there are other voices that can have that conversation. And we just to sit down for 5 minutes, or allow 5 minutes for one thought to be explored on the whole, I think is really good. That's when you start hearing your intuition. That's when your ego has less of a megaphone. That you can only take control of that yourself. No one can do it for you. No one can answer the question for you. No one can tell you what you care about or what you should care about. We often think that we should care about a lot of things that we don't care about because of the social situations that we're in and what our friends care about. Mm-hmm. And we're okay not to care about the same things. But we should really come from a point of standing on our own two feet and knowing, facing what we care about and don't care about, even if we don't like it about ourselves. That's also self-love. You know, people assume that self-love is about walking around looking in the mirror thinking you're fabulous. Mm-mm. No, self-love is about
that's vanity.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, self-love's about looking at a situation and going, God, I hate that part of myself, or that grumpy part of myself that just really gets overwhelmed when I'm not in a control of a situation. And it's sitting down for 5 minutes and going, okay, well, how can I nurture that side of myself and make that side of myself feel less scared and less angry and less frustrated?
Yep.
And doing that, and then suddenly you feel better in yourself, and that's self-love. There's a lot of language around the wellness industry that's really intimidating because it doesn't make sense. You're like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think it's, you've really got to, like, if there's part of you that you don't like. So for example, I have very short temper. I am half Italian, so I blame it on that. I'm passionate and have rage as well. So for me, I know that side of me really only comes out when I'm overwhelmed. And what shocks a lot of people is I'm an introvert, and I'm actually very introverted, but that doesn't mean that I'm shy, which a lot of people think introversion means shyness, which it doesn't. It just means how I... what I need from people, what I take from people, and how I deal with situations. So after I've done a full day's workshop or I've done speaking events, and I love doing all those things, which people are like, but you're an introvert. It's like, yes, introverts still like doing those things. I need to be left on my own afterwards.
To decompress.
Exactly. Yeah. And if I come home and, you know, I've got, you know, someone saying to me, you know, oh, what are we doing? What's this? What's that? Oh, how was your day? What's for dinner? And I'm just like, that's when I snap, because I can't cope. And it's bizarre, but it's a part of me that I understand, and it's a part of me that I just accept. And it's taking that time to say, right, you know what, you probably can't change that part of you, but you can change your reaction. So to change your reaction, the best thing to do is to tell other people, hey, you know what, when I've done a day like that, I know you want to know all about it, and I really, really want to tell you all about it. Could you give me 30 minutes just to sit on my own and chill? And then,
well,
I
it's self-love, isn't it?
Exactly.
That's self-love. It's like, it's not about going, oh, I'm really short-tempered and I've got a bad temper if I'm not left alone, so I don't, and that's just how I am. Everyone has to handle it. I can't change. It's that classic, I can't change. I am who I am. We are who we are. But if we take accountability for who we are and how we are, and we're a little bit nicer to those not so perfect sides of ourselves, then we function a lot better and everyone else gets the best of us too. So I think you're completely right. But you won't know that about yourself unless you take the time and effort to actually switch off the sensory information around you and have a little look inside.
Yeah, and I really do recommend everybody does it, even if you think you really, 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 really know yourself. Do you? Have you really spent time really reflecting on who you are and what you do? And do you really love yourself? Do you really look after yourself? And I'm not talking about going to the gym and eating your veggies. I'm talking about, like what you were saying, self-love. You've got to accept every single part of you, and also those parts of you and how that affects others around you, and what you can do to explain that part of you to other people as well. So that, you know, for me, I don't want to be the snappy person that blows up. I want to be able to tell my loved ones that, you know, I just need 30 minutes on my own, if that's all right.
Which, when it's said like that, is so much more charming than what can come out if you're pushed a little bit too far.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. When I completely, like, my top blows because I'm so stressed out because I've had such a overstimulated, overwhelming day that's been great. And I do want to tell you all about it. I really, really do. But not right now.
Just take the lid off the pressure cooker and let the steam come out a bit first.
Exactly, exactly. So talking crystals, I would love to know what you would advise anybody listening who's perhaps been thinking, oh, I'd like to get involved with crystals, but there are so many. What would you recommend for small business owners and entrepreneurs to maybe have on their desk or in their workshops, or even to take with them if they're going off to meet clients or customers or public speaking, things like that?
So let me think about this. What I would recommend, first of all, I'd always recommend a clear quartz.
Clear quartz
is it's the master crystal. Shamans, you know, shamans are kind of like master healers from generation to generation to generation on various tribes and things around the world. They generally only work with clear quartz. But clear quartz on a kind of basic level is like a manifestation tool. So if you think about how clear quartz, I don't know if anyone actually knows this, but some people will. Quartz is holds loads and loads of information. And it's what they actually used to use was real quartz in watches and computers.
Yes.
In order to keep time and in order to hold information in computers. Now, if you think about that and then think about putting your own energies into a piece of clear quartz, it will hold your thought process, your wants, your needs. And very much with manifestation, it's about thinking about the things that you want, putting it out into the universe. That doesn't need, you don't need to say it out loud. You know, the universe is cleverer than that. You can think about this stuff and it's all kind of, that's what you think is what you are, what you think is what happens. So if you, I'd say start, if you're starting a small business, get yourself a piece of clear quartz, sit down for 5 minutes and think about what you want that business to be. Think about those things that we've talked about in this conversation about, you know, what is it I want that for? Why do I want it? What's it going to give me? What will I have when I get that? What am I losing by starting this business? What will I be gaining, et cetera, et cetera? Mm-hmm. And let all that go into your quartz and then use that quartz. Sit down every week with it for 5 minutes. This does not need to be hours long. This does not need to be, you know, saging the room and incense and omming music. But hold it in your left hand and think about your week. What have you done? Have you been working from a point of that manifestation? Have you been working from that soul point of what you want for your business? Because all that information is in the stone and it will help to hold that vibration for you. Even if it's just the fact that it pulls you back every single week and you don't really believe, in inverted commas, that it's working for you. If it's bringing you back to that point of base level of what you want for your life and your business and your growth, then it is working.
I find my clear quartz is I have quite a large chunk of clear quartz, and I find when my thoughts are racing, when I'm getting a little bit wound up, I could be just watching TV, but I'm not paying any attention to what's on and my mind, you know, switches on and starts racing. I find just holding it in my left hand and just almost focusing back on the TV show, somehow it just manages to just calm me right down and realign me back to my own energy and make me it almost switches off that racing thought.
Well, it does align all chakras. So that's your chakras, are energy systems that run through the body. So if you think that they might be out of alignment and you're holding your clear quartz, it will kind of line them up again and make you feel more clear and together. So I'd say start with that. I'd also say put a black tourmaline by your desk, because that will, because we spend lots of hours looking at computers and being on Wi-Fi and conversations on the phone. Black tourmaline is a really grounding stone and it pulls Wi-Fi toxicity and pollution away from the body, and it detoxifies the system and it creates a protective kind of shield around the subtle bodies, which is the auric field, which is a little tiny layer of energy that's around us that no one can see because it vibrates too fast. You can read about it in physics, Google it. I'm not making it up, I promise. And then the other one I would say, because they call it the stone for the CEOs. It's called pyrite. I actually have a couple on my site, very small, like little kind of cube pieces. They're amazing. It's like what I think is amazing about pyrite. All crystals grow very molecularly. They have a very specific molecular structure, each stone. But a pyrite really shows how it grows, because it grows in little squares.
Okay.
And it's almost like little tiny building blocks, which is really interesting, because all the properties about this stone are manifestation, willpower, confidence. It holds a very masculine energy, and they say that all businessmen and women and people trying to start new projects or really or make money even. It talks about financial and emotional abundance. Mm-hmm. You can Google any of these, all come from pyrite. And if you look at the little squares and you imagine the fact that they grow from these tiny, tiny squares into bigger, bigger squares, and they're beautiful. They look like they've been cut with a ruler. They're quite unbelievable. And you're like, if that can grow like that, of course it's the stone for CEOs, because it just shows how perfectly and slowly and carefully, with focus and confidence and willpower, you can grow your business.
Block by block.
Block by block, literally. And they say it's the stone for CEOs, and very often these big pieces of gold, and they're also gold. It's mm-hmm. a gold color. Its other name is fool's gold.
Yeah.
Because it looks like gold, but it's not gold. And you think it's got everything about it is about success and money and focus and making and doing and building. So lots and lots and lots of CEOs have them on their desks. So I'd say those three: clear quartz, black tourmaline, and a fool's gold pyrite.
Love it. I will link to the pyrite on your site as well. And so anybody who's interested, they'll be in the show notes. But if you've only got a couple of pieces, I have no doubt they will go super quickly. I think that's kind of everything I wanted to talk to you about today, Amy. Thank you so much. I think the last question is the question I ask everybody. Whose story would you like to hear on the Small and Mighty podcast?
Oh, whose story would I like to hear on the floor? Oh, you know what? I'm saying the first person that came to mind.
Do it.
Because my husband.
Oh, okay. I wasn't expecting that.
And that's not a plug at my husband, actually. It was just the first person that came to my mind, because he is an entrepreneur and is now involved in his second business.
Okay.
But this is his story's really interesting. He started squeezing oranges in his cousin's apartment and driving around the city of London in a smart car and selling this orange juice that was hand squeezed. And 15 years later, he sold his business that was called Funkin.
Okay.
Which was puree mixers for cocktails.
Yep.
It's the perfect story. It's exactly what we talked about how you can grow a business from nothing, where you're everything behind it, to essentially running a very large corporate organization. And he sold it because it was time for him to get his hands dirty again, and he wanted to be back in that creative seat. So it's very interesting to see that growth from literally squeezing oranges to building a multi-million pound company, to selling it, to starting again.
Oh my goodness, I've got goosebumps. I'm really excited. Amy, what's your husband's name?
His name is Alex Carlton, and his old company was called Funkin, Funkin.
Yeah.
Many of you will actually know it. You'll be surprised, because it's now sold as well. It's not his anymore. And he now has a non-alcoholic spirit called Stryk, Stryyk.
Amazing. Oh, I'm excited about this. Oh, you can let him know. I'll have him on the show.
I'll put you guys in contact, because I think you'd have a really nice chat with him.
That would be fantastic. I love to get men on the show. I don't get a lot of men apply to be on the podcast, but I am not exclusive. I don't exclusively interview women. It just happens to be that I get a lot of women approach me to be on the show. More men should put themselves forward. But
well, we're going to put him forward.
I love it. That sounds amazing. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Amy. This has been a really interesting conversation. I have got so much out of it. I've learned so much as well.
And
I just think it's fab. I'm really glad that we met.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's really great to chat to you. I've loved it. Thank you. And thank you all for listening.
And so that was my chat with the lovely Amy. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording the episode with her. I think it's just really interesting to hear different people's takes on businesses. And I think, you know, we all need to do a little bit more soul searching and really thinking about what it is that we want for our businesses going forward. And sometimes that means just sitting quietly and listening to your thoughts and answering your own questions, because quite often the answers are already inside of us. We just need to spend a little bit of time thinking about it and less distracted. Thank you so much for listening. As always, I appreciate every single one of you that tunes in week after week. If you have 5 minutes, please do take time to rate, review and subscribe, especially if you're on iTunes. It means the absolute world to me. I read every review and I check all the ratings, and it really helps get the word out and pushes the show up the iTunes chart so that other people can discover Small and Mighty Conversations. I also love seeing where you're listening to the show. So if you're out on a dog walk, or you're on holiday, or you're lying on the beach, or you're in your workshop, please do take a snap of where you listen to Small and Mighty Conversations. Tag me at Sam Burgess UK and use the hashtag Small and Mighty Business, and I will reshare people's images and videos to my stories. But until next time, keep pushing forward. Your next great success is just around the corner.